This message I had given to our church. I'm the pastor at Calvary Goodyear, as I mentioned. And normally in August, I try to go on a bit of a sabbatical from teaching. I'm usually in the office. I'm still maintaining all kinds of other things and duties. But from teaching, we allow the associate pastor to step in the pulpit, which is great for him. But it's also great for me to be catching up on other reading and things like that. And so where I was finishing up as we've been going through the book of Hebrews, I ended at chapter 3 a week early. So the Lord blessed me with a message that I received from a guy named Don Whitney. He's a doctor, professor at Southern Baptist Seminary, and he was doing a message at Worship God, the Worship God Conference, out on the West Coast about a month and a half ago. And he did this message on prayer that so ministered to me that as I shared it with my wife and we shared it with the leaders at our church, and the Lord just told me to share it with the body. And so when Chuck had put out the call that he might need someone to serve, I said, hey, I'm on sabbatical. If I can serve in any way, here's the message online. If that works for your body and the body of Christ here, let me know. I'd be happy to, you know, come out. I'm on sabbatical anyway. And so he said that I think this would really bless us. So I pray that it does. It's been my prayer all this time, all this couple of weeks, just to be ready to pray for you guys and build you up in praying. So let me just get started. Friends, there are two main important disciplines in the Christian life. Can you name them? Just two really main ones. There's several, of course, but can you name the two biggies? The two big spiritual disciplines? Prayer. Great. Reading of Scripture. Go ahead. What was another one? And reading Scripture. Yeah. Praying and Scripture. Perfect. But the order that they need to go in is Scripture first and then prayer. Okay, that's the idea. So those are the two most important spiritual discipline in the life of a born-again Christian, of a true believer, right? And so we need to have a steady intake of God's holy word and intimacy with God through prayer. And it's in that order. First, the steady intake of God's holy word, and then intimacy with God, building up more from the word into prayer. Now, it is first and foremost for us to first hear from God. That's us reading the word of God. Then for him to hear from us in prayer. Prayer is crucial, as we probably well know, but it is secondary to the steady intake of God's word. Reading is the starting place, of course, for taking in Scripture. We can also listen to Scripture online. We can, if we have an iPhone or an app, the YouVersion, you can listen to all different types of versions of the Bible as well, or read along with it. But reading the Word of God is a great starting place for taking in Scripture. But we often forget that we need to meditate on the Word of God and let it simmer in our hearts and our minds for it to start to to stick, okay? We can briefly read through it. If you're like me and some of you college students, you know what this is like. You're reading through, you get done with a chapter, and you're like, you're reading something for school, for example. You're reading through, and you get done with the chapter, and go, I don't remember a thing I just read, right? Anybody ever do that with the Bible? Sure, we're all guilty of it. Why? Because we've got 50 billion things going on in our noggin, and it's just spinning and spinning and spinning. And then we kind of walk out of that thinking, boy, I didn't get much out of that. Well, meditation, according to Don Whitney, meditation on Scripture is our single greatest devotional need. Let me repeat that again. Meditation on Scripture is our single greatest devotional need. Now, some would say that meditation, it's important in meditation to empty your mind. Just let your mind go. New Age would tell you that, right? Let your mind go and be empty. And that's not what the Bible tells us. The Word of God, our great God and Savior tells us to fill our hearts and minds with His truth, right? So we're to meditate on the Word of God. We are designed by God, believe it or not, we are designed by God to be able to absorb His Word. Reading is the exposure that we get to the Word of God. Meditation is the absorption of Scripture. Let me say that again. Reading is the exposure. Meditation is the absorption of Scripture. See, the absorption of God's Word leads to experiencing God. We experience more of God the more we absorb His Word. And the transformation of life that takes place as we absorb His Word. And so we long for, that is what we long for, isn't to be what God wants us to be. We want to be made into the image of Christ. And we're going, God, we wish you would hurry that up. right? And oftentimes we pray, oh God, change me. But the moment something tough comes into our life where God's going to use the heat to mold and shape us, we're like, whoa, God, get this out of my life. He said, well, you just prayed and asked me to change you and make you more into my image, right? Which he promises to do. It's called sanctification. He promises to do that for us, but oftentimes we want to back off. And so the more we intimately know God, the more we trust him, and therefore whatever comes our way, come what may, right, we can stand strong and trust our great God and Savior. Remember this, church, please remember this. The same love that our great Lord showed on the cross when he was mashed, when he was crushed and bled out and died on the cross for us, is the same love he shows his children every day. As a born-again believer, when you're doubting God, when you're afraid, when you're feeling God's left you, the same love that he showed you on the cross is the same love he's showing you today. He hasn't let go of you. Amen? We okay with that? Okay. Since we are indeed designed by our Creator to absorb the Word, experience more of him, and be moved to prayer, we know it is not that we can't meditate on Scripture. It's not that we can't meditate on Scripture. It's what? It's that we typically don't, right? We typically don't meditate on Scripture. We feel a little guilty that we didn't read today, so I try to read a couple of verses or maybe a chapter, and I move on, but I feel guilty about not doing it. And I don't need to feel guilty because of the cross. I'm always welcomed and loved by God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that frees me up to not feel guilty and be motivated to not do something out of fear or guilt, but to do it out of love for my great God. Now, by not meditating on God's Word, what happens? We often feel defeated. And how that turns out is we often feel defeated in our prayer lives as well. Because the intimacy with God from reading His Word and meditating on it and understanding doctrine and truth of who He is, what He's done and what He's going to do, right? We stumble and bumble about, and so that intimacy is broken. And so our prayer life begins to stumble. Oh, we might pray for 5 or 7 minutes, and it might seem like an eternity. Is it that way for you guys ever? Where you're praying and you're like, man, you want to get on your knees, you want to pray, and you start to pray, and it's like, I feel like I prayed for 20 minutes, and you look, and it's like, it's been like 2 minutes. And my mind is spinning and wandering, and I'm already thinking, I didn't feed the cat, and the neighbor's dog's barking, and I gotta pick this up on the way home, and you know, all these things start to pop into our minds. Our minds wander. Does that sound like you guys? Okay, good. I'm in the right church then. All right. So if so, here's what we often conclude from that. And this is me about 2 months ago. Even as a pastor, I would struggle with this thought life. I think I might be a second-rate Christian when it comes to prayer. I think I might be a second-rate Christian when it comes to prayer because, man, I hear these guys, these missionaries, I hear people that, man, they pray. I know people who personally get up at 2, 3 in the morning and pray for hours every day. And I'm like, how do they do that? And I feel guilty, right? I feel guilty. I'm a pastor and I don't pray that much, right? I pray throughout the day and different times throughout the day. But how is it that they're not bored out of their minds, right? Let's talk about that. See, the fact is, we're not necessarily a second-rate Christian. Now, you might be. Okay, we can talk afterwards. There's prayer available, all right? God is a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering, wonder-working God. He can fix that, right? He can fix that today. But the fact is, if you indeed are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, in other words, you're born again and God is living inside of you, okay? And generally speaking, you're living in obedience to God. We all fail every day. We all sin every day, even as born-again believers. We're not perfect, or once we got saved, we wouldn't need to depend on Christ anymore. Right? So we are dependent on God. We're trying to generally live in obedience and so on. But the problem isn't likely you making you feel like a second-rate Christian. The problem is your method. The problem is the method that you're using for prayer. Now, there's all kinds of books out there on prayer, and quite honestly, I start to read them and I get bored with them. And so when Dr. Whitney laid out this simple plan, I'm like, man, I've got to share this with others as the Lord opens the door. And so I want to minister to you guys with that. Now, understand this. And this is important. If you're not a born-again believer, if you're here and you're looking for, you know, you're looking for answers and so on, or maybe you're a bit self-righteous, you're moralistic, you're very moral, but you're not born again, you have not been converted, regenerate by Jesus Christ, there's a bit of a problem. No method is going to enliven your prayer life. There's going to be no method that can enliven your prayer life without the power of the Holy Spirit living in you, right? And when we're born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, resides in us. So we need to understand that up front. And just to give you a couple of verses that won't be on your chart, I want to up on the PowerPoint. A couple of verses for that to back that up. Isaiah 52:9, and Proverbs 15:8. Isaiah 52:9, and Proverbs 15:8. Now, I would encourage you to go home and read those verses and take a look at those and minister to those who... there's a whole other message we could do on prayers that God doesn't answer, okay? But those who are indwelled by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, have received from God, according to Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, I'll read from the ESV here, they have received from God the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, which calls us to cry out, Abba, Father. It calls us to, when the Spirit of God is in us, we have a desire to want to speak to God, don't we? There's a hunger to want to, we just don't know how to do it, oftentimes. Also, Romans 8:15, again from the ESV. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear as a Christian, right? But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. We are the child of God. We are the children of God. We are heirs with Christ. And so therefore, we get to run into the throne room and pray at will, right? But we are able to, again, cry out, Abba, Father. Or in our vernacular, we would even say Daddy, which almost seems a little, almost ungodly to think that we would call the Heavenly Father Daddy. But there is that rich relationship of a father and a son or a father and a daughter. Those who have been given the Holy Spirit have by that Spirit, and you might want to write this down, a new heavenly fatherward direction. A new heavenly fatherward direction and orientation. We're no longer earthly motivated, earthly directed, right? We now have a biblical worldview. We have a Christ-centered, God-centered direction. And so our compass is now changed to a fatherward direction, as well as a heavenward focus and aim. I'm not going to be all tore up about my temporal circumstances. What's going on earth for the moment when all of who I am in Christ is laid out in Scripture and I can focus on that and remember that, to trust in God that this is just a fleeting amount of time, right? And the older you get, the more you realize how much time is really fleeting. When you're younger, you think you've got forever, and you seemingly do, but we really don't. And one day, quickly, we're going to be before our Lord. And so it is a joy to keep that as our central focus. Are you guys tracking with me so far? I speak a little fast. I know that. I'm sorry. I'll try to slow down. Was that slow enough for you? Okay. Very good. So in other words, those who are truly indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God really want to pray, and yet, while they believe in prayer, they want to pray, and they do pray, they find it frustrating. And so why is prayer so difficult? Why does prayer seem so boring? Why does 5 minutes of prayer seem like forever or an eternity? Are we second-rate Christians? Not necessarily. Hopefully the answer is no. So why is it so hard to be consistent in my prayer life? Friends, simply put, prayer is not easy without a plan. As far as a regular, persistent thing, God's called us to pray all the time. We're to be praying. Right now, I pray you're praying for me. I pray that you're praying for those sitting next to you to receive these truths. I pray, you know, we're always in that heart of prayer, but sitting down and going about prayer. So this morning, we're going to learn three quick things, three quick topics, three keys to learning to pray. Number one, we're going to learn the problem. Number two, we're going to learn the solution. And number three, we're going to take a look at a method. It's not the method. It's not the only method. It's just a method. And it's blessed me so much personally that I pray that it's going to bless you as well. So again, learning to pray, the problem, the solution, and the method. Once you and I actually experience praying through a passage of Scripture, you and I will likely be able to turn to any part of the Bible and pray through it. That's the idea. If you do it once, you're always going to be able to do it. By praying through a passage of Scripture, you're going to find yourself praying about most of the same old things, but in brand new ways. The same old things, but in brand new ways. You will also find yourself praying about the things that you've never thought about praying for. Absorbing God's Word and praying leads to an intimacy with Christ, and intimacy with Christ, church, leads to conformity to Christ. Intimacy with Christ leads to conformity to Christ. We're going to be more like Christ the more we're intimately acquainted with Him. Amen? Okay. Let's pray again. Father, we pray that You'd guide our hearts and minds now, as there are many things to look at, and we want to glean all we can, that this would invigorate us, that this would empower us, not for ourselves, but for You. What You might want to do in us, that You would be magnified in our prayer life, that You would be glorified, and that we would share these truths as they bless us with others, for your beautiful and wonderful and lovely and kind and generous. And Lord, we desire to learn to talk to You more. We need You more than we know. So guide us now, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's look at the problem. The problem in prayer is we tend to say what? The same old things about the same old things, right? We tend to say the same old things about the same old things, right? You're getting ready for bed. Maybe you kneel. Maybe you pray in bed. Maybe you lay face down, whatever it might be, trying to pick up your notes, you know, whatever. Excuse me one second. And so maybe whatever your position is that you're praying, you're humbling yourself before God. And let's remember that when we go to God in prayer, what we're saying is, God, I can't, but You can. I'm humbling myself. And Scripture declares that the grace of God flows when I humble myself. He resists the proud. When I can do it all myself, I'm going against the resistance of God. But when I humble myself, He gives us the grace. So the moment I go to Christ in humility, the moment the grace begins to flow. The moment I repent of anything, the moment I say, you know, Lord, please forgive me. Or I taught my wife, please forgive me, babe. The grace starts to flow in our marriage, right? Whatever it might be. So the problem is, we say the same old things about the same old things. And you know what? If you heard my same old prayer all the time, you'd hear it three or four times, you'd be bored out of your mind, right? We've all been to prayer meetings where you know, Brother Joe says the same prayer every single meeting, right? Right? And, you know, at first it's like, oh, wow, that's a great prayer. Well, the third time, the fifth, the 20th time, it's like, that's great stuff to pray for, but you're knocking me out, Joe, right? So we can be edifying to others in our prayers. So when prayer is boring, what happens? We don't feel like praying. When prayer is boring, we don't feel like praying. And we don't feel like praying, it's hard to concentrate on prayer, isn't it? And when it's hard to concentrate on prayer, guess what? We don't pray for very long, do we? We just don't. Our problem is not that we pray about the same old things. You know, to pray about our family, right? That's okay. We should be praying about that. Praying about our church family, right? We should be praying for our friends, our finances, our future, our jobs, our kids' future spouses, and so on and so forth. Or maybe there's a crisis that's going on in your family, or you foresee this crisis coming and you begin to pray. We should be praying about all those things on a regular basis. And this is your life, right? It's my life. It's your life. It's real life. There's those same things to pray. But again, our problem in prayer is not that we pray about the same old things. It's that we say the same old things. That makes it boring. And when prayer is boring, we don't feel like praying, do we? And when we don't feel like praying, it's hard to pray for any length of time, isn't it? And it's hard to pray consistently. So what's the solution? Let's take a look at our second key to learning to pray, our solution. Let's take a look. The first solution must be fundamentally simple and straightforward. That's the first thing. It's got to be simple and straightforward, right? It needs to be basic, that I can remember it, and I want to just go with it. God has children of all ages, right? When we look around the body of Christ here, this wonderful local church, I see people from 8 to 80 or whatever, all age groups, which is a beautiful thing. That's a healthy, vibrant church when you can see end to end with the ages. I mean, you know, that means God's working. It doesn't mean He's not working in other churches. I'm saying that it's just it is a means of gifts here, that as the body comes together and surrenders, as the connection class was about serving, as you guys each get involved, and if you're not involved, let me encourage you to go through whatever channels that you need to get involved, because here's the truth. Here's the truth, guys. This is just, like, not part of the sermon, so here we go, all right? If God has gifted each one of us differently or even similarly, right, which is true, He's given us all different gifts, we receive more of His grace when everybody's doing their part. If only 50%, we're getting 50% of the potential of God's grace in this church, But when everybody's involved, and the more you fall in love with Christ, the more easy it is. I'll do whatever. I'm willing to step out. I look at all the indicatives, the declarations of Scripture in Ephesians or Colossians or and so on. And it goes, man, God's done that for me. I'll do whatever He wants. But the more we do that, the more grace begins to flow, right? We come to church not for what the church will give me, but what God wants me to do in that body. And then as we all do together, we all benefit. And it's so rich and enjoyable. Okay, I'm off my little wooden deal. So if God expects us all to come and pray and surrender to Him, we need to understand that we will receive advantages as we pray as a local church. And we have more advantages than most of the world. We have all kinds of Christian books. We have all kinds of Christian media, right? I mean, church is so good online. I can hear better music and better preaching from, you know, than most churches you go to. God hasn't called us to sit at home and watch church. He called us to be church. We are the church. You see? And so God has all gifts, all different people coming together. And so when we use our gifts, there's a simple solution here. We all come together and pray. And when we pray, and we pray through Scripture, this is the solution. When we pray through Scripture, we're going to be ministered to in a powerful way. And let me suggest, especially starting with a psalm. Starting with a psalm. When we sit down to pray, we are, in a sense, responsible for what we say to God, right? Who else would be? We are. And so we want to be able to say the things that are going to impact God. You have not because you ask not, but you have not because you ask amiss. You're asking in the wrong way. You're asking the wrong things. You're making it more me self-centered than Christ-centered. And so when we pray a psalm, we begin to get ministered to. All we have to do is read the Word of God and pray it back to God. Simple as that. Read the Word of God and pray it back to God. That's the solution. The problem is I say the same old things about the same old things, and that is boring, right? The solution is I read Scripture, I meditate on Scripture, and by thinking about what I'm reading as I'm going to pray it back to God, that helps me to meditate and remember what I just read as well, you see? And then I'm able to pray Scripture back to God. And so that's the solution. When you pray, pray through a passage of Scripture, particularly a psalm. Now, let's jump to the method. You guys have been so good so far. The problem, the solution, and now the method of learning to pray. How many of you guys struggle? You don't have to raise your hand. In a room this size, it's probably several of us, right? We struggle with praying out loud in front of people, right? We struggle with praying out loud in front of people. Because we listen to prayers by some people and we're like, wow, I can never pray like that. That guy sounds great. Wow, I mean, everything he said. Well, the problem with that is I start to focus on, wow, that guy's great, and not who is great. You know what I mean? So the thing is, we can all pray out loud. It's our pride that wants to keep us, you know, we think, oh, I'm shy. Well, you're not shy, you're prideful. That's why you won't say it out loud, right? I mean, let's just, woo, cut to the chase. You know, I'm only here once, so I can say whatever. Amen? Okay, so, all right. Chuck did not ask me to say that, but I just, you know, just kind of, so it's yours, take it home, use it. So the method, let the words of Scripture become the words of our prayers. For example, if we pray through Psalm 23, and I think most of us know Psalm 23, right? We've heard Psalm 23. If you've watched any Western, you've certainly heard Psalm 23. But if you're reading through Scripture, have ever read Scripture, we know how Scripture, how beautiful Psalm 23 is. Oftentimes it's recited at funerals and so on, because it's so peaceful and encouraging, right, for those of us who might be left behind after losing a loved one. For example, it starts like this, right? You know how it goes. The Lord is my what? My Lord is my shepherd. Wow. So if I was reading Psalm 23 and I said, the Lord is my shepherd, what would I do? How would I start to pray? I could stop right there and say, thank you, Lord, that you are my shepherd, that you chose me before the foundation of the world to be my shepherd. Lord, I'm blown away by that, that you are my shepherd and my guide and so on, right? We can also begin to pray, Lord, please shepherd my family. Shepherd my family. Lord, teach me how, as a parent or as a person, how to shepherd others. Teach my family how to, teach me how to guide them and provide for them and protect them in your word. Lord, I pray that you would make my family your sheep, that you would indeed be their shepherd, right? So we've only looked at the first phrase, and we could have prayed for 10 more minutes. You guys see what I'm saying? All right, let's continue. So we ask him as a shepherd, and we go through, Lord, I got these decisions to make. You're my shepherd. How would you guide me as my shepherd through this? That's what a shepherd does. He's a guide. He directs and guides. He's also God, of course. When nothing else comes to mind, guess what you get to do? And go to the next phrase, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. Uh-oh. I better drop that Amazon account. Because I want, right? Uh-oh. I better be careful because as soon as I get that, I got to have that. Uh-oh. I really want this in my marriage. Uh-oh. And I'm not content. Oh, Lord, forgive me for not being content. Lord, I do want. Lord, and I recognize that if I'm going to die to self, if I'm going to arrive every day DOA, dead on arrival, that you might have your will with me, I've got to stop wanting what I want and start wanting what you want for me, right? So guide me, direct me. So there we go. We're not even through the first verse, and we could have seriously prayed for all kinds of things. So whatever comes to your mind as you're praying, pray that, okay? Now, if we continue to go on, what we do is we simply go through the passage line by line. Pray what you find in the very next part of the text, or what it brings to your mind, okay? So you keep going. Now, if nothing comes to mind, you've fallen asleep. No, I'm kidding. If nothing comes to mind, or you don't understand a particular passage or what that verse is saying, it's okay to go to the next one. And you might find yourself having to go to the next one, the next one, the next one. Oh, that one, boom, all of a sudden it hits you like, oh, I can pray that one. That's okay, right? There's no hard and fast rules here. We're just going with the flow and letting the Word of God direct and guide our prayers. Nothing says you have to pray over every verse. So continue until you run out of time. I mean, you're dead. No, I'm kidding. Until you got to go to work, you got to go to school, whatever it might be, but just continue. Now, one great approach. Let me give you a great approach to praying the Psalms. One great approach. How many Psalms are there? Anyone know? 150, right. 150. 150 Psalms. That's a great bunch of Psalms. So what you might want to do, right, is come across and take 5 Psalms a day. Now you're like, well, wait a second. I'm just starting out. I mean, I can probably do Psalm 23 for like a week. Well, that's fine. Okay. But a lot of times you'll come across a Psalm and for whatever reason, things aren't popping off at you. They're not jumping off the page for things for you to pray. So this is what we want to do. We want to take a month, want to take the day of the month and pick the Psalm. For example, today is the 25th. Right? It's the 25th. So we would choose the 25th Psalm, which we also read together, by no coincidence, but by the sovereignty of God. He put that together, right? And so we read through the first. And so what we do then is once you've read through that Psalm and prayed it, right, you go to the next one. But how do you know which one to go to? Well, if you skip to 30. So if today's the 25th, you would go to 55, Psalm 55, if you've gotten through Psalm 25. Keep reading and praying. If you get through 55, you add 30, you go to what? Come on, ASU. Help me out, guys. Any general math people going in right now? Okay. All right. 85, right? And then if you get through 85, you go to the next one is 150. Wow, you guys are bad. I'm glad it wasn't a tricky one, like 118 or, you know, an odd number or whatever. But you get the idea, right? And so we just keep going. And then 145. So we're getting through. So what you do in the morning is you can open up the Psalm and you can just briefly read through it. And if things jump off at you, start praying it. You don't have to read through all 5 of them. Start praying it. If you're not sensing that, you've briefly read through it, go to the next Psalm. You guys see what I'm saying? But you kind of keep it compact and you start just praying Scripture. You might find yourself reading one verse from each of those 5 different Psalms. You may find yourself just so focused on Psalm 25 tonight that, man, you're not even going to go anywhere else because we've just spent 10, 20, 30 minutes, an hour praying Psalm 25 and it was so enriching and exciting. And I'm telling you, this is true. God just ministers this way. Is this the only way to pray? No, it certainly isn't. So if you're praying along and you get distracted, and I know that doesn't happen to anybody here. This is a very, you know, a spiritual church. But if you're like me and you get distracted as you pray, you know what? Just go back to the verse that you were just reading and either reread it and pray or go to the next. It's okay. Don't be uptight about it. This is just you talking to God with His Word. All right? So the Psalms are one of the best places in Scripture from which to pray Scripture. And this is because the original purpose and use of the Psalms, right? Many call it the workbook on worship. But psalms are indeed songs, and they are inspired by God for the purpose of being reflected back in song to God, and so we can reflect that back to Him in prayer as well. Okay? The entire range of human emotion is laid out throughout the Psalms. If you've ever read through them, you know that to be true. The entire range of human emotion. Now, the second best place in Scripture to read is in the New Testament, especially the epistles or the letters, right? The epistles are densely packed with truth, where virtually every verse suggests something to pray about. It is also extremely edifying to pray through a narrative of Scripture. You know, you want to read through Jonah, and then you could pray through that, okay? But you'd want to read through a bigger chunk. Maybe you take a paragraph or a whole chapter and read through that and take the big idea or the big ideas that come to you and pray over those things. You would need to take in a little bit more Scripture if you were doing that. So, in conclusion, once you actually begin an experiencing praying through a passage of Scripture like this, you will likely be able to go to any part of the Bible and begin to pray through it. If you do it once, as I stated in the beginning, you'll always be able to do it. By praying through a passage of Scripture, you're going to find yourself praying about the same old things, but in different ways, in new and exciting ways. Absorbing God's Word and prayer leads to intimacy with Christ, as we stated, and intimacy with Christ leads to conformity to Christ. So what I want to do right now is if you guys would open your Bibles to Psalm 25. Can you guys do that for me? Psalm 25. I only have about, what, 5 more minutes? Something like that? 50 minutes. Oh, thank you. All right, 50 minutes. We'll just get that lunch brought in here, guys. Don't worry. You're going to be fine. You'll be fine. So Psalm 25. Right? Why are we going to Psalm 25 again? It doesn't have to be that if that doesn't work for you. Come up with another formula. For me, that's simple. That's what Don taught, and I found it just very simple and easy. So what I want to do, guys, I'm going to give you 3 minutes. What? Yeah. Quiet in church for 3 minutes. Go figure. Quiet in church for 3 minutes. What I'd like you guys to do is start reading the first verse and pray it. Pray what the Lord leads you to pray. And if you get through the first verse, I want you to go to the second verse. And if you get through the second verse, go to the third verse, right? And we'll see how fast 3 minutes really is. All right? Here we go. Ready? Go for it. But you guys see what I'm saying? It's rich. It is just rich, and it just keeps going, right? You can see, you know, chapter 25, it's just, oh, you lift my soul, oh my God. In you I trust. You know, Lord, I've not been trusting you lately. You're amazing. And I've been getting all caught up in this stuff. And please lift my soul up, right? Because you guys see what I'm saying? And you just keep going. Is that great? I mean, Don Whitney taught this a couple of months ago, and it has just ministered to us so much and simplified it. You find yourself can't wait to get to prayer time, whether it's morning or maybe on your lunch break or maybe it's in the evening, whatever. You can't wait because it's going to be refreshing. It's going to be exciting. Because the problem with prayer is that we don't have a method. The problem with prayer is that we pray the same old things about the same old things, and it's boring, right? And the solution is that we just need to pray through Scripture. And the method is to start with, for example, a psalm, and just pray line upon line upon line, and just head on through, right? And why do we do this? Well, God has commanded us, He has called us to speak to Him, to pray, to trust Him. And by praying, we're humbling ourselves, and we're drawing near to God. And he desires that. He desires a relationship with you more than we probably desire a relationship with Him. And we need to trust Him. And here's the thing about bringing glory to God. Each one of you has been designed by God to bring Him glory as a born-again believer. That's the truth. That's the bottom line, and Scripture declares that. And I love what author and pastor John Piper says. He says, God is most glorified, right? How do I glorify God? Here's the deal. He is most glorified when we are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in Him. Not the stuff, not that relationship, not that thing, not that movie, not going there, not that car. God is most glorified when I'm most satisfied in Him. And I become more satisfied in Him the more time I spend with him and see the gospel and remember the truths of the gospel, who I am in Christ, what he's accomplished for me, and what his plans for me are in the future, not just on earth, but in eternity. Amen. Amen. All right. Can I pray for you guys? All right. Lord, thank you.